what's the best value for the customer, and the best, and the advisors should assess value by more than just price. They need to look at the wider qualitative features. And I do wonder, sorry, I worry a lot about certain advice firms, especially in a world where we have a pure protection review going on. Some firms are looking at quality of CI by on wider basis, but not looking at mortgage protection and income protection in that way. I was going to show you a mortgage protection one. We're not going to have time for that, but I'm going to quickly going to run through an income protection comparison. And this is also to show you how quickly this can be done. Admittedly, I have pre-loaded this customer, but I'm going to do an income protection comparison. Oh, sorry. I've gone straight to the results. Now I want to actually show you the process. I beg your pardon. Run. Whoops. Try not things do, trying to do things too quickly. That's better. So we're going to do an income protection analysis. We've already got some details of this client in, but I'm going to do an income protection increasing by RPI to age 67, and I'm going to give him 4,000 per month benefit on a 3-month deferred with benefit increases from policy inception. I'm going to use our express method of calculating this on a separate section, session. I'm happy to show people the custom version. We're actually going to say this is an IFA, so there is an element of fluctuating income. He's not a doctor or surgeon, but he is interested, so he doesn't get the special NHS conditions, but they are interested in all the different added value benefits. Run that case, and this is running live in real time, which is always the bit I get. Right, so what we've got here is, and you'll notice that we're listing the products by quality first, not price. Because if you show anybody a price listing, they immediately lock onto the lowest price and anchor into that. You will also notice that currently there are 74 results, because most income protection comparison systems lump in 1, 2, 5, and full term products. The way we've built this particular system, I can take out the 1 year, that takes us down to 62 results. I can take out the 2 year, that takes us down to 35. I can take the 5 year out, that takes us down to 27. Probably wouldn't want reviewable or age-costed contracts. We'll take both of those down, we get to 21, and we'll take guaranteed age-costed. We're now down to 16 results, far easier. We're now comparing apples and apples, not apples and pears and oranges and everything else. So what you see here is that the highest quality contract is actually Scottish Widows, with a quality score of 83.9 and a price of £69.72. So I'm going to select that one to look at. We come down, who else is cheaper than them? Vitality are cheaper than them at £67.23. And cheapest of all, to keep the ombudsman happy, is the F, sorry, is Zurich. But what you're seeing here is the quality score for widows is 83.9. I'm going to explain how we arrive at quality scores very quickly in a minute. Compared for £69, that's £3 more than the Zurich product that has got a quality score of 57.9. When we compare those providers, this now drills down and show you all the different features and the different scores for different elements of the product. So for £3 more, you're getting the client a case, sorry, a product that's nearly 50% better. Do you really want to sell the cheapest premium, or do you want to sell the best value for money. And indeed, in view of the FCA's view on consumer duty, that you should give best value, not cheapest, is your compliance process robust enough to pick up? And with that, I'm going to throw back to Matt, actually, because you're an expert on this. I'll stop sharing there. You're an expert on the whole question of value and quality. What's your experience with that?
People will always pay significantly more for quality. In fact, I think the research that you guys did evidenced that the average consumer would pay at least £6 per month more per policy, just for a higher degree or perceived level of quality. The truth of it is, if you sell on price exclusively and you don't anchor to quality, what happens is you commoditize the recommendation. It becomes all about price. So for a lot of the advisors watching, I imagine one of the biggest grievances you've got around protection, I mean, when we spoke to Colin earlier, he talked about his persistency rates, which are remarkable. And that's because he's doing the job properly. He's anchoring to the customer's own goals. He's talking about what matters to the customer. He's producing quality by ensuring those things themselves that matter to the customer are recommended and protected. So if you focus on price exclusively, and that's your first go-to thing, it's a race to the bottom. Because when you commoditize protection, that's when brokers go and look online and do comparison pricing and end up shopping around, because it's about price, not the quality and the value of the advice you're giving. And all I would argue is that you're better off using a tool like Protection Guru Pro to demonstrate quality over price, because there's two key reasons. One, it's more compliant. You can evidence why you've recommended what you've recommended, simply because it's evident that one contract has a higher score over another. Ergo, it's likely to produce a better outcome for the customer. And secondly, you're locking to the customer in to a value-based recommendation, not a price-based recommendation. Because the danger of a price-based recommendation is people can undercut you. They can do commission sacrifice. They can shop around. Whereas when it's a quality-based recommendation, that's where
you get absolutely. I think the phrase I've heard you use before, Matt, is, you know, when you get into quality, price ceases to matter. And the point here is, if you recommend a policy that's cheap, And you end up with a situation where something happens and it doesn't pay out, who's the client coming back to? You know, the advisor's best protected. It's a better consumer outcome. And the thing is, now it can be easy to compare those. I'm very aware that we're just about running out of time, and I haven't managed to get to all the different questions that have come up in the chat. The chat will remain open post this event. So if you've got further questions, normally we probably should have scheduled this one for an hour and a half, because I do see a whole load of questions coming in. If you want a repeat or extended version of this session, it's been great bringing these three people together to talk to you. I think we might try. If you want another one, we'll look at doing another one. That's probably the best I can do. John, I know there was one question earlier, which was, what growth assumptions do you use? Is that something you can answer quickly, or is it a discussion in itself?
I think there's two questions I saw. One was, what inflation rate, long-term inflation rate do I use, and what growth assumptions? So first of all, long-term inflation rate, I use 2.5%. I'm a nerd. I've tracked inflation every month since January 1989. And I've actually got a spreadsheet that I'll just very quickly show you, just to such prove I'm not making it up. I haven't been doing it since 1989, because that would be weird. And I can tell you, if you take the average for the last 30 years, it's just over 2.4%. The last 20 years, it's 2.7. And charts like that don't take into account the fact you can choose not to buy something if it inflates too much. So 2.5 is a good long-term inflation rate. In terms of an investment return, I typically use 4% net. So 1.5% above inflation. I spoke to an economics professor, and that would be considered a smoothed average, which would typically take into account peaks and troughs within the market. In fact, if you market crash a 4% model, it's actually more wrong than if you'd have just left it as a linear 4%. There was a question also in there around about varying investment returns. You know, my model is deterministic and linear. That was for the illustration purposes here. And I think the comment was, it can be used to kind of influence the client in whichever way needs to be. That's certainly not something that would exist in my world. I can fluctuate and vary the investment returns, I can market crash it, I can bounce it back, I can do all of the stress testing. But sometimes people just need to see, if you are not receiving your income for a period of time, how much damage does it do to your long-term plan? And that's as simple as burning it for a few years. But the conversation is much more, is much larger and engaging than that. And that's a really brief answer to that, Ian.
Wonderful. I'm sure you'd all like to thank our panelists. We can't give them physical applause, but I'm sure you'd all like to send your good wishes to them. I think that was a great session, everybody. And we'll look forward to... Now, I should actually come back and show you what's next. I beg your pardon. So our next meetings are... if you do just... Jesse will drop you a link into Protection Guru Pro training sessions. We have them going on every Thursday, 11 till 12. Our next protection forum is the 1st of May about business protection. Next advice tech forum is 15th of May about connectivity between tech stacks, cash flow modeling again, and portals. Do keep an eye out for the feedback forms. Those are the different sites you can find more information from us on. Thank you, everybody.